Welcome to Win with Richardson & Richardson. What's important now? Success in business most often comes down to hard work, not by silver bullets and quick fixes. It's knowing where to focus that hard work that's key to winning. Join sales prospecting expert and three-time seven-figure business founder Carrie Richardson and managing partner of R&R Consulting and former owner of Doberman Technologies, Ian Richardson, for radical honesty regarding strategic planning, accountability, and execution that will get you the systematic results you're working toward. Let's get into today's episode. Thought leader and your host, Carrie Richardson.
Hello and welcome to Win. I'm your host, Ian Richardson from Richardson & Richardson Consulting, and today I'm joined by my friend, Andrew McIntosh. Andrew, how's it going?
Good. How are you today?
Hey, I'm great. I'm great. Thanks for taking some time to pop on and share a bit of your story with the listeners of Win. Andrew is a lifelong technology enthusiast turned entrepreneur. For over 20 years, he's been helping people and organizations overcome their business challenges through effective use of technology. 2006, he founded an IT company as a one-man band, built it up over a period of 15 years, and sold that business in 2021. And don't worry, we're going to talk about that today. This journey brought him a wealth of knowledge and experience that you cannot learn in schools, you cannot learn in a book. You got to get it through the school of hard knocks. His mission now is to help other entrepreneurs, especially first-generation entrepreneurs like himself, avoid many of the common mistakes that set them back or put them at a disadvantage. He's doing that by building a community that connects like-minded people, where they can all help each other overcome challenges and accelerate growth. You can learn more about it by visiting firstgen.biz. The link will be in the show notes, but more importantly, you can learn more about it right now here today on this episode of Win. So, Andrew, serious talk questions first. Now that you're out of the technology space, you have to tell us honestly, how many times are you clicking on those free Starbucks coffee emails? Because I do it every time now.
You know, what's funny is actually, if you want to talk seriously, it's been a pretty big adjustment going from owning a business and the income that comes from that to for the last year and some change. I've been kind of on a fixed income. You know, I'm a W-2 employee, just like so many other people. And it's like, okay, yeah, I gotta pay closer attention to these Starbucks rewards points that I build up and how I spend my dollars.
I feel you there. When we get into the second segment of the show, we're going to be talking about selling business and just it's funny. I didn't know this before we chatted today, but we both had an MSP for about the same amount of time. We grew it to about the same size, and we sold it in the same year. So there's an immediate connection here, which I'm really quite enjoying. So on Win, we always talk through business challenges, business achievements, business opportunities. I'm a big process guy. If you hang out with me for about 30 seconds, you'll go, whew, process dude. And yeah. We were chatting that you've got kind of a chicken and the egg situation with the challenge. You're building up this community, people are loving the idea, they're super enthusiastic, you're getting a lot of positive response, but you're building a community. You're taking a blank sheet of paper and saying, okay, let's turn this into a movement. Let's get some followers. Let's get some engagement. And knowing which ideas to pursue, what ideas are going to have value, what's going to generate revenue, how to control costs with no revenue coming in, because all you're doing is writing checks out the door right now. How do you get to sustainability? Talk to us about that and what you're doing and how you're working on that.
Yeah. So just to kind of give a little context, I was the first person in my family to start a business. So what that means is I did not grow up sitting around the dinner table at night talking about how to start a business, how to grow one, how to scale it, how to be healthy and profitable. So when I went out on my own, in 2006, I truly felt on my own. It was like I'm blindfolded and walking through a forest and just really hope I don't fall into a pit. So because of that, I did learn a lot of lessons the hard way, which is fine. But if I had had access to a resource, a community, a podcast, to meet like-minded people, maybe those who are a step or two ahead of me that can say, hey, look out for this pitfall, could have saved me a lot of time and heartache, potentially. Mm-hmm. I think I would have jumped at the opportunity to do that. So fast forward to today, I look back at all the things that I did over the years, whether it's BNI for networking, getting new leads, Chamber of Commerce for meeting new people. I had a business coach for a time. I belonged to a CEO roundtable for a time. So this is, you know, the type of person that I am, is I'm always looking for new people to meet, new things to learn, so that I can be better. And my thought is if I can build a community for people like me, first ones in their family to start a business, and bring a bunch of smart people together, then we can all help each other out. Everybody's got a different area of expertise, and we can help each other avoid pitfalls and grow our business. And that's the vision anyway. It's, you know, got a lot of potential. But to your question, I've shared this concept with probably over 100 people that I've now met on LinkedIn in these last few months. And 9 times out of 10, they go, that's a great idea. I love it. I love the vision. I love the purpose. Just let me know how I can help. And then that's mm-hmm. the end of the conversation. And it's hard because I've never built a community before. So I have no idea what's going to work and what's not, what's going to give the most value. It's very much a learning as I go, trial and error type of thing. Which there's a certain amount of irony there, because it's all about first-gen entrepreneurs, and now I'm doing this for the first time. So maybe that's just going to be my journey, is constantly learning things the hard way. But if I can help others, then that's what I'm hoping to do.
Well, I would say that there might be some irony there, but there's also authenticity there. That's for first-gen founders by a first-gen founder. So, and this is the first time we've done it. That's a resonating story. It's interesting. I grew up in the house of Richardson has always been an entrepreneurial household, but it's never been a household where a business transfers. So my grandfather had a manufacturing business, and that was sold, and that ended with him. And my father had his own medical practice, and that was sold and ended with him. I had an IT business, and that's been sold. There's gotcha. Never been a business that transfers, and there was conversations without understanding around business, around that family dinner table, which is, it's an interesting topic that you bring up, because I never really thought of the concept. I've got a son, of sitting him down and saying, hey, let's talk about business. Let's talk through some of these things. And let me right. share some of these lessons with you, because maybe you'll be interested in them. Maybe you won't be, but right. hopefully there'll be some value.
Yeah. And there's just so many aspects of running a business that you are just not going to pick up anywhere else. And it's like, you don't, I think if your normal entrepreneur knew all the challenges that they were about to face, they may never take that leap in the first place. But because they go into it blind, then you got to kind of deal with things as they come, and you get through on the other end, hopefully, and it works out. But yeah, I think that there's absolutely a lot of people who you don't know what you don't know. And so if you can talk to other people who've been on a similar journey as you in the past, or maybe they're on one right now, and you can kind of share your learnings with each other, it just seems like not only will you avoid a lot of painful mistakes, costly, time-consuming mistakes, but you learn all these little tips and tricks and tricks of the trade that help you just be better at running your business. And that kind of thing really compounds over time. It's interesting that you say that you had kind of multi-generational businesses in your family, but none that were handed down. You know, I know a few people that were handed a business, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to knock those individuals. I respect what they're doing, but there's a totally different dynamic when you've been handed a machine and you're told how to operate it, and you just have to maintain it, versus mm-hmm. designing and building that machine from the ground up. So the challenges that you face are two very different things between a first-gen entrepreneur versus someone who's maybe inherited a business. And again, no disrespect to them, but I'm trying to focus on those people who are simultaneously designing, building, and trying to get this thing firing on all cylinders at the same time. That's the group of people I'm trying to help.
Yeah, that's emerging entrepreneurs, the folks who are kind of building it out and figuring out the systems, processes, people, how to manage people, how to gain clients. It's such a rapid pace environment, and I'm super glad to see that effort. And at the risk of sounding cliche, anything I can do to help will be that. But I'd like to spend some intentional time with you off the show, and let's see how we can help. So we're going to change that narrative there.
That would be great. Thank you in advance.
thinking about achievements, you had an IT practice, a managed service provider or MSP, for those of you familiar with the lingo. You sold it in July 21, and you've got a pretty exciting 2-day deadline coming up. First off, you're going to Florida on Saturday, October 15th for some time. And the reason why you're going to Florida on Saturday, October 15th is because Friday, October 14th, you get to turn in your badge. What badge are you turning in?
Yeah, so I've been working for the company who acquired mine in July of 2021. And my last day with them is October the 14th. So it's equal parts exciting and terrifying at the same time. The group that I've been working for who acquired mine, they're a good group of people. They've treated me very well. I have no complaints about, what that's been like. But the main reason that I stuck around, that I was there, was to ensure a smooth transition for my customers, as best as you could expect anyway. Yeah. But with this idea of this community and the podcast for first-generation entrepreneurs, what started as a little seed idea has organically started to grow. And it's become obvious in the last few months that, if this is going to turn into anything, it really needs my full-time attention to kind of overcome that inertia to get it going and get over the hump to where it starts to become its own thing. So I let them know that I was ready to pursue the next chapter. And it's exciting because who knows what can happen. It's terrifying because I have no idea if it'll work, but That's part of the excitement and the fun of being an entrepreneur.
That's part of the joy, is kind of diving in, both feet, eyes closed, jump into the pool and see what happens. So when it comes down to selling a business, we and I had mentioned this at the top of the show, we've kind of followed that same sort of journey where we sold a IT business last year. We've been in that business 15, 16 years. Grew up that business to a successful practice and then exited. And one of the things that I found is that over time, it became a little bit, the interesting thing was my stress load up to the point of transaction was high. And then after transaction, it was almost higher. Yeah. Because it was like, oh God, it's I've got to make sure everything goes well. And like the weight of the world is resting there. But then month by month, and especially quarter by quarter, just like chunks of that stress fall away as things kind of transition off of your desk, as you slowly start to walk out. Was that your experience too?
Yeah, it absolutely was. I've had quite a few people, customers, friends ask me, how's it going? What's it like going from being the owner to just being a sales guy, just basically what I am. And on the one hand, I tell people that it's been this really big relief. I haven't had to run payroll in over a year. I haven't had to deal with health insurance renewals and double-digit price increases. I completely dodged Great Resignation. Like, that term was coined and became household phrase that everybody knew just a month after I sold my business, and I managed to dodge that completely. So while I feel bad for the company that acquired mine in that sense, I feel pretty fortunate to have missed that. Conversely, though, you're right that just because you sell the business, it doesn't mean that overnight all your stresses go away. In fact, I was talking with my wife about this a few weeks ago, and it's like, you think that there would be kind of this moment of just complete, you know, de-stress and everything falls off your plate. But in reality, you still have customers who came over as part of this transition. I still have to focus on making that smooth for them, dealing with issues as they come up, and trying to, you know, just get them incorporated into that and a few other things. It's like, I still don't feel as if I've just kind of had some big break. It's not like you just get to sell it and just walk away. Maybe if I were retirement age and, you know, just like never going to work again a day in my life, then maybe you could walk away. But that was not the case for me.
Well, honestly, something about entrepreneurs, we never really stop. We might stop working for money, but we definitely don't stop working.
Well, my personal belief is that we're built to work. But I think that, you know, a person should never really stop working, because if you do, then you're going to decline mentally, emotionally, and otherwise. I think it's good for us to work. But I think the ultimate privilege is being able to choose what you do for work, choose when you work, how you want to do it, or even be work optional. I don't think you should stop working. But once you kind of have the circumstances where you no longer are working to live, you know, it kind of shifts that whole dynamic, and you start looking at it in a different way, and you start thinking about, well, what can I do that will bring me a little more purpose, a little more fulfillment, and helping others, I think, is often where people go with that idea.
Well, and so speaking of helping others, that's a great segue to the opportunity that you're working on next. We had mentioned this at the top of the show. You're building this community, you're building a podcast, you're building this content, focusing on helping entrepreneurs, that passion of calling to help entrepreneurs. That's something that resonates down to the tips of my toes. The mission that I have is to help entrepreneurs achieve their vision so they can change the world. So that resonance of helping and entrepreneurial focus is near and dear to my heart. Tell us about this community. Tell us about what you're doing, what you got going on. Tell how people can get involved, get information, and join it and be part of that community. Walk us through that.
So when I alluded to it earlier, but in my journey, I belonged to different groups, different organizations, tried different things. Each had their own pros and cons. And what I'm hoping to achieve with this community is I want to take the best parts of every one of those and incorporate them into this community. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Like, let's take BNI and the Chamber of Commerce. Almost every time I talk to someone who's been in business for any length of time, they've all tried one of those two things, if not both of them. And it doesn't always work for everybody. You know, there's a couple of good aspects to it, but they often find what they thought was going to be a great source for getting leads actually has some caveats and some downsides, and it doesn't do as well as they thought. Well, I have an alternative type of structure for networking that has worked for me personally at my MSP, and I'm hoping to implement that, incorporate that into the community. It's less of a time commitment, but it's a lot more impactful in terms of actually meeting new people, getting new leads. So I want to build that in, right? Because everybody needs new leads. You need more business to grow. That's the lifeline of any company, right? Well, I also had a business coach for a time. That was great. Love that guy. He's like a father figure to me in a business sense. And that was huge to have someone with all these years of experience, you know, to help me think about things differently. Kind of give me a sanity check once in a while. I mean, half the time it was more like sitting on the couch at the psychiatrist's office and just telling them how you feel, right?
Oh, yeah.
The downside is it was pretty expensive. I paid that guy years and years ago $1,000 a month just to kind of have access to him once a month. Mm-hmm. Expensive, worth it. But if I can incorporate some of that, but at scale, you know, either through courses or cohorts, or just putting genuinely useful content out there or podcasts, it kind of democratizes that. It makes the same type of valuable information available at scale to people in a way that's a lot more accessible because a lot of businesses, especially in the early years, you can't afford to spend that kind of money, right?
Oh, wow.
And then later in my, towards the end, before I sold the business, I belonged to a CEO roundtable. It was called Vistage. And it was more money still, significantly more, in fact. But the beauty of it was I'm now rubbing shoulders with a dozen other CEOs from different industries. And you can come to the table with an issue that you're facing, and now you can hear all these perspectives on how to tackle that one issue. So even though it was very expensive, all it takes is one good idea or one tip, and suddenly it's worth what you spend in the course of a year. That's the goal. Same type of deal. If I can build groups where CEOs are getting together in a private setting and helping each other process issues, I think there'd be tremendous value there. And then the last thing would be the podcast. You know, same kind of deal. Interviewing people, whether they're a first-gen entrepreneur speaking from experience, a second-gen entrepreneur who's just got some advice that would be useful for someone in the early stages, or even an employee, someone who's never owned a business, but they have a particular skill that young business owners should know about. Those are the kind of gems I'm hoping to unearth by interviewing those folks and just making that available for free to whoever would like to listen. So I've got that as a vision. Now the challenge is, you know, can you make it happen, and how quickly?
Well, I love that. I love that vision. There's such power in the items you touched on. I too joined BNI when I was young and nascent in there, and a significant portion of our business, and that business ended being very profitable and very long standing, stemmed out of that BNI. It got us large contracts, large opportunities. It was a great way to meet people and learn how to talk to people, and especially learn that concept of, hey, give first, give often, give as much as you can, and it'll all sort itself out in the wash.
Right.
And then I was a member of a CEO roundtable too. I didn't do Vistage. I did Entrepreneurs Organization, which are two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
And that the way I somewhat tongue in cheek, but not entirely, is I always referred to that as CEO therapy. That's, you know, everybody kind of gets to show up and unload and share things and be able to do that. And even though a core tenet of EO is, hey, this isn't therapy, it really is therapeutic, because the only person who can understand an entrepreneur's struggles is another entrepreneur. If you haven't been there, you don't get it.
That's spot on. And, you know, one of the mistakes that I made looking back was that I would come home at the end of a rough day, a rough week or whatever, and I would just kind of dump all this on my wife, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's so loving, she's so supportive, and I love that about her, and I appreciate that. But it was also pretty obvious to both of us that she's like, I'm here for you. I got no idea really what to tell you or how to help, right? Because that just, she wasn't really in a position to do that. And then conversely, you also can't talk to your own employees about these things. You're just going to stress them out. I mean, that's not what they were hired to do. So where are you going to go? You know, there's a saying, it's lonely at the top, you know, and not to say that you're, you know, the Michael Jordan of business, but just to say at the top of any organization, you really don't have anybody else to confide in, to ask some of these questions. A good leader, you know, you want to be authentic, but you don't want to freak people out with all the things that are kind of going on. That those are inside words,
That's
as
right.
they say. So having a peer group like that, where you can fully disclose your thoughts, your feelings, what you're going through, and you quickly realize, oh, other CEOs, they're human beings too, and we all have something of value to bring to the table and help each other out.
And the ability to then take that connection that you've been able to form with CEOs, and when you go to clients, when you go to prospects, when you go to other areas, and still be able to talk in that way, it teaches you how to talk at a different level in a different way, and it just it pays back in spades. So I really that one, again, at the risk of sounding cliched, I love the idea. And so I can't wait to see this vision get actualized. And I want to say thanks, Andrew, for taking a bit of time to come out on WIN, share your vision, share your story, share what's going on. people who want to learn more, they can go to firstgen.biz. That's the number one, STGEN, GEN.biz. Andrew's active on LinkedIn. And where can, is the podcast live or is it to be coming live?
It's to be coming. I am in the process of recording about 6 or 8 episodes first so that I've got some buffer before I go live with it. So if you follow me on LinkedIn, you'll hear all about it once I get it published, I promise.
So connect with Andrew on LinkedIn. And if you're interested in learning more about Richardson & Richardson, you can view our site at rnr.consulting. There you can grab other episodes of WINS, blogs, white papers, webinars, Partridge in the Pear Tree, whatever you might want. And if you're interested in being a guest on WIN, go ahead and go to rnr.consulting/connect, grab the podcast booking, and I'd love to host you and hear your story. Andrew, thanks again for taking some time to come on board and chat with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ian. It was great talking with you and look forward to seeing what we can come up with together.
It's my pleasure. Until next time, take it easy.
You've been listening to WIN with Richardson & Richardson. What's important now? We're so glad you've joined us and know you're one step closer to winning big in your business too. We'd love to connect with you outside of the show. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to connect@rnr.consulting. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll easily know when new episodes are available. Until next time, you can win, and we're here to help.